Ready, Brad.
5, 4.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Hustle. I'm your host, John G. Got my co-host over here, Brad D. And our guest host for the night, Mr. Brendan. Say hello, Brendan.
What's going on, Johnny?
It's good to have you back, my man. Good to have you back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, coming back a second time, being asked to come back. So,
yeah, we had a couple people, you know, have to turn it down. So,
hey,
joking.
I think I'm the
joking.
First one back for a second appearance. So,
yeah.
Now I got to shoot for a third.
Okay. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. So anyway, let's get into a little bit of the recap here for week 10. Brendan, we love to have you. You're welcome anytime, my man. But pretty interesting week 10 here. A lot of good games. I think there are a handful of upsets and a handful of kind of decently scaled games, you know. Had some big blowouts and, you know, it got to a point where you're seeing a couple milestones and people just continuing to break records as the weeks go on. First off, the teams that were on bye were the Ravens, Vikings, Texans and the Broncos. You know, definitely need to rest from the Ravens there. Vikings are going to be coming into Chicago, and there's going to be a lot of excitement here with those teams. I think they're going to be really pumped up here. Hopefully your boy Harbaugh has got something going his way if Flacco sits out. But getting into Thursday Night Football last week, we thought this was going to be an interesting one, and it turned out that the Steelers just destroyed the Panthers 52-21, led by Big Ben and his 5 TDs. Even the defense showed up there. And then, you know, it's kind of an interesting game there. I thought it was going to be something I could sit down, crack a beer open, and, you know, stat game for everybody, but it slowly went the opposite way really quick. And for a second there, I was thinking Connor was out for a while, and I didn't know if they were just kind of sitting them because they were up 21-0. 21-7, and then they kept scoring and scoring, and then, you know, obviously with the whole Le'Veon Bell situation here, it's like, oh, well, Connor's the for sure lock this year, you know?
Yeah, that game, I mean, that was, what, 30-something, or was it 40 at the halftime for
Yeah, no, I think it was 40.
I mean, it was an outrageous score, and you know, it did put a little damper on, you know, an exciting game, and hopefully, you know, you don't have too many matchups like that that get spoiled for the rest of the year here. But, yeah, I thought for sure that the that game was going to be a lot closer. I figured it was a field goal game and not the annihilation. But Pittsburgh's starting to roll now, and that AFC is, you know, the bye is definitely in play. I don't know if they can catch the Chiefs, but the bye for sure.
Indubitably. Speaking of spoils, there's a couple spoils we had here this week up on Upset Alert. Matt Barkley coming in after only being there for 2 weeks. Him and Shady McCoy leading the Bills 41-10 over the Jets. Whew, Jets are looking just awful there. I mean, they showed signs of life here a couple weeks. You thought they maybe had something, but they just, guys have been dropping like flies, and they just can't produce. They got no one there that can really lead them, and Sam Darnold just needs a little couple more years, you know. Maybe he just needs that second-year plunge here to kind of get him through the elements, but, yeah, Jets are going nowhere fast. Browns and Baker, 3 TDs, man. And Brandon Chubb coming into the mix, too, 209 scrimmage yards, 2 TDs.
That's Nick Chubb.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say Brandon. Nicholas. Brandon, Nicholas.
Close.
Hey. Anyway, 28-16. No one really thought that Cleveland was going to come in there and kind of take the house here from the Falcons. And they just kind of put them down, man. Looks good.
That was probably that and the Titans game, that was the biggest surprises for me. But knowing how bad the Browns are and how well the Falcons had been playing lately, I mean, that's definitely a big shock. And when I saw that, I couldn't believe it, because I thought for sure the Falcons would go in there and handle Cleveland pretty easily.
Yeah, as everyone did here. And as you mentioned, the Tennessee Titans, first time since 2002, they beat the Patriots 34-10. Couldn't believe that. I had a feeling last week when we were doing our predictions of going that route, just because you never know what you're going to get with Tennessee here. And maybe they just needed a couple weeks to get things together here. I mean, even Derrick Henry kind of run the ball pretty decent here. So, you know, I know a lot, couple Titans had some chips on their shoulders and getting a couple sly remarks out here after the game was all said and done. But Tennessee is looking good.
Yeah, their offenses look better since the bye week.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I like what Vrabel's doing there, and I think he's a good coach, player coach, you know what I mean, who can kind of get in the elements and kind of get guys going here. And I think that's what he's got going on over there. So
what is it with both of Belichick's former players beating him this season, with Patricia knocking the Patriots off earlier this year with the Lions, and now Vrabel? So
no, I agree.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, you
might have lost his touch, you know.
Oh, that old man on 11 to lose his touch, boy. But, yeah, no, I agree. It was an interesting beat there. And my final kind of upset, in my opinion, was Cowboys 27 over the Eagles. Zeke coming out with two TDs. Dak Prescott, still don't trust the guy fantasy-wise. But, you know, Jason Garrett, you're a scumbag, and you're not any good. But the big thing is the Cowboys are kind of showing that they have a little bit of life in them, and I think that's something that they need to have going. And Zeke's going to be the guy that's going to be the big benefactor there.
I think that both the Titans and the Cowboys, both with good upsets here against, you know, conference champions from a year ago, they are so up and down all year. Like, you get good performances out of both these teams, and then, you know, you have a complete dud from Dallas or from Tennessee, and you just wonder, you know, what the hell is going on with these teams. But, you know, they both got the win here today, and they're both, you know, only, well, Dallas is two games back, but chasing Washington's a little easier than chasing Houston for Tennessee. But, again, Tennessee is just a game back of the Texans. So maybe if they figure something out and they stop going up and down, they'll be contenders for playoff spots.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see here. Now we got rid of some of the upsets here. We'll talk about a couple of teams that kind of had some pretty nice-sized games here. First off, Chicago, retaining first place with an impressive win over Detroit. 34-22, no thanks to Cody Parkey, but, you know.
Bong.
those damn kickers.
Bong. Yeah, they got to figure something out here. He better get together here. He better start practicing like Robbie Gould did and, you know, getting a little bit more PAT action going on in the pregame, but that's not acceptable for the price tag he's playing.
I think it was a fluke, though. He's been fairly good throughout the year on a good offense, so, you know, he's a guy I think you could go back to. I wouldn't drop him or completely banish him for one bad game.
Stream him, right, Brad?
I'd rather talk about the Browns and kickers. Let's move on.
Next up, Chicago hosts Minnesota Sunday Night Football, which we're going to dabble a little bit later here. Drew Brees surpassed Brett Favre for the second most passing TDs in NFL history over what we thought was a solid Bengals squad. Apparently not. 51-14. Alvin Kamara and Ingram both chipped in with solid performances. And question for Cincy is maybe Hugh Jackson can come save the day. I'm just joking.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati's defense is really bad this year. They have not done anything remotely what they have been doing in the past few years. And A.J. Green's just too big of a loss for that offense. And unfortunately, they were looking pretty good there for a while, but I think they'll be missing the playoffs yet again, and Marv Lewis will keep his job.
Definitely, definitely. Eric Ebron stepping in with two TDs in the passing game and also had a rushing TD. Definitely helped take care of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let them continue their demise. They're an interesting team right there. Speaking of supposedly solid defenses, supposedly one of the top 2-3 in the league, and then they finally get their star running back. You're hoping that it can kind of change things around, but I really just don't think that this is their year. I think too many things, once the wheel falls off, it just all goes downhill there. And Fournette was that first wheel that kind of spun off, and Bortles not being able to kind of step up is not helping their cause. Other game, Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City Chiefs continue their dominance, 26-14 over the Cards. Mahomes continues his historical year by becoming the team's single-season passing TD slinger. The guy's ridiculous, man.
With six games to play.
Yeah, ridiculous. But we'll see you here. Definitely definitely exciting year that he's put forth on both sides of the ball. Definitely improved a lot of his players around him. And I think Kareem Hunt's been the one player who's definitely came out of his shell. You know, Alex Smith was able to provide some sort of an obstacle and spread the field, but Mahomes is just so deadly that Kareem Hunt's having just a field day there now. And it's definitely what he needed.
Yeah, I think Hunt is kind of getting up there with Todd Gurley as far as, you know, best running backs. Gurley's still there, but I think Hunt's giving him a run for his money for best running back this year and creeping up there as far as dynasty rankings go for running backs as well. So
yeah,
that's the Mahomes effect here. You know, the guy has been hands down best quarterback in the league this year and front runner by a pretty good margin for MVP right now as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Phillip Rivers and his 9 kids beat the Raiders 20-6. Can't find fans, but I can sure find the end zone. You know, possibility of Hunter Henry maybe returning here in a couple weeks, they're saying maybe 6 weeks. Joey Bosa seeming like he's possibly going to be getting in the pads here soon and kind of getting into that rotation. That's going to help him out, be a little bit more competitors in the AFC. It's going to make that conference really strong. Aaron Jones rushed for 145, 2 TDs to lead the Packers over the Dolphins. Whew. Tough game there, Bradley, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of expected, though. I mean, Packers haven't been great this year, but they still do have, you know, number 12 there at quarterback. And when it's Rodgers versus Osweiler, it doesn't matter where that game's played. Dolphins didn't have much of a chance.
No doubt. Skins continue their run atop the NFC. 16-3 win over the Bucks. Dirk Cutter, he's got to be gone here in the next couple weeks, I got to assume, right?
Yeah, he does not come back in 2019 for sure.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing the Bucks put up over 500 yards of total offense, only punted once, and ended up with 3 points. So they just can't get out of the way of themselves.
No, they can't.
And still haven't settled on a quarterback. It feels like every week you could see
it's not helping the cause moving forward. No. You know what I mean? You got to make the decision, have someone sit behind until someone really goes down with an injury and call it as it is, but yeah, I agree.
The Bucks did something pretty remarkable. Scoring only 3 points by going over 500 yards is very rarely done. In fact, it's never been done since the NFL merger. So it's remarkable. 864 times a team has got 475 yards or more. All those teams are averaging 36 points in those games, and they got 3. So. Not very good there, but hey, Fitzmagic still had a decent game, and he'll remain the guy for another week.
He will. He will. On one of the more kind of interesting games this week, I thought, which we, you know, a handful of us were thinking was going to be too, was Rams holding off Russell Wilson and the Seahawks 36-31. Appears that Cooper Kupp is out for the year with a torn ACL, and Brandon Cooks definitely going to be the guy stepping up here. I know Todd Gurley's already got a lot of the weight on his shoulder here, but Robert Woods also, another guy you can't leave hindered. I mean, that guy he's a stand-up guy who goes in there, runs his route, and he still gets you about 14 points a game just based off of being that accountable receiver, you know. And the way Brandon Cooks is starting to – he's coming into what Drew Brees wanted him to be, you know what I mean? He wasn't really – the best running back. I know he had some people in front of him out there in New Orleans, but you know, I feel like since he left, he never really was able to get back on track, and he's just looking like a stud now, man. Looking like that franchise wide receiver they're looking for.
Yeah, that offense is so good. I think they'll just keep firing on all cylinders. You might see a little bit more of Josh Reynolds. You might see a little bit more of the tight end, Gerald Everett, there as well.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Monday night game, Brad. I know you like that. Liked a little bit of the action that was going on there. Your boy Breda.
3 total wins for the 2 teams. But, yeah, it had an exciting ending, unfortunately. I didn't feel like staying up and watching it. But, you know, you got what you wanted out of Odell Beckham. You got what you wanted out of Breda, and Kittle had a good game for the tight end. So, I guess from that standpoint, that's a positive if you needed a decent game on a Monday night to get a victory. But, you know, it's still a 1-win team versus a 2-win team, and those are right now 2 and 3 in the draft order, so.
Yep. Well, wrapping up that week here, our top 3 players of each position here. Going to the QBs first, Big Ben having a pretty beautiful game there, 328 and 5 TDs. Mitchell Trubisky showing he's still hanging around there. He's, what, been on our top three weeks already? It's impressive, fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
Able to find that end zone. Key thing, obviously, he had them 3 TDs, but the rushing TD was another feature that he's got that, you know, a lot of QBs just won't roll the dice with. And then Drew Brees, obviously, 265, 3 TDs, and a rush TD. So those guys have just been pretty dominant this year here. I know you talked about MVP consideration. Drew Brees is definitely having that type of year here, but, you know, one guy standing in his way is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. And, you know. Unfortunately, this is why Brees doesn't have an MVP, even though he's had this incredible career. Mm-hmm. Every time there seems to be someone either puts up a little bit better stats or Brees is on a average team and someone else is on like a 15-1, 14-2 team. And
yeah.
That's unfortunately where the MVP goes instead of just seeing, you know, what Drew Brees is doing and not getting the MVP. So it'll be that situation again this year unless Mahomes falls off the map. Unfortunately, Brees is going to fall short again.
Yeah, it's the facts, man. It sucks, but we all know he's one of the best. So hopefully he gets it here, and we'll see what happens. Another running backs, Nicholas Chubb. Yeah. Not Brandon Chubb.
Not Brandon.
176, 1 TD, 3 for 33 in a TD. He looks good, man. You know, it was only time before they gave him the ball, and you know, that's part of the reason why Hugh's gone, because he didn't kind of make that move here. You got to just trust your instincts and let the guy do his business. And I think he pairs very well with Baker.
Yeah, that 92-yard run was the longest run in Browns history. So
yeah, definitely awesome there. Definitely awesome. Zeke Elliott, 151 a TD, 6 for 36 in a TD. Aaron Jones, 145, 2 TDs, and 3 for 27. Definitely got to give that guy some love because he hasn't really been up here. Been working his way back from the suspension, and I feel like he's what Aaron Rodgers needs to kind of succeed. Yeah,
yeah. Two other guys, you know, McCaffrey had 3 touchdowns and 130-some yards. And then David Johnson finally showed up and did something, had a really good game there, and this is, you know, those people that drafted him.
Definitely some notables.
Top 5. This is what you're hoping for, and if you get it now in your playoff push, that's the best time to get it.
No doubt, no doubt. Out of the wide receivers, or let's just say this, pass-catching players. Because right? I got to go with Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
14, 145, 2 TDs, 16 targets with a lot of mouths to feed there now with the arrival of Golden Tate. Kind of impressive. I know Carson Wentz has always liked him. I'm thinking that trend continues here. Allen Robinson, not being a homer, but 6 for 133 and 2 TDs. Looking pretty good, my man. Keep that going. Looking a hell of a lot better than Sammy Watkins on that free agent ad. Tyreek Hill, 7 for 117 and 2 TDs. I kind of got a little tie for third place here. Got to go with Eric Ebron, too, and give him a little bit of love. 3 for 69, 2 TDs, as I mentioned earlier, and a rushing TD. You know, everyone was worried with the arrival of Doyle coming off the injury, but Ebron's saying, hey, man, like, I'm catching the rock. You got to keep throwing it to me. And I agree. I mean, you got to feed the guy.
Yeah, Eric Ebron's on pace to break Gronk's touchdown record for a tight end. 18 is what Gronk did. So Ebron can keep this up. I don't know if he can, especially with Doyle back, but he's having one hell of a year.
Yeah. And if T.Y. Hilton just keeps kind of sitting to the side, you know, every Indianapolis quarterback over the past years has loved their tight end up the middle. I mean, all the way up from, you know, Dallas Clark down into the multiple. I mean, they've had so many receivers that are just the reliable source.
In the red zone, that's where they go, yeah.
So, be interesting to see here. And a couple of notables, you know, Michael Thomas and Corey Davis. Corey Davis showing up here was a big part of that victory over the Pats. So,
well, even your other boy there, Anthony Miller, had himself a... You know, pretty comparable game to Corey Davis.
Just trying to not be too biased.
I'll throw it out there.
I appreciate that.
Game.
Just like Trey Burton, right? There you go. It's a good co-host right there. Well, that wraps up my top three, Brad, here. What do we got going on?
Guys falling?
Injuries, man. And who's falling?
Some fallers here at the quarterback position. Tom Brady didn't have any touchdowns, didn't do anything exciting. He only had 254 yards, so... You know, not what you need here making that playoff push. Tom Brady's a guy that a lot of people draft in the first half of their drafts, and disappointing week 10. Now he's on the bye. Andy Dalton, you know, we talked about A.J. Green being out and how the Bengals just didn't look good. You know, he was really bad against the Saints. 153, one touchdown, two picks. On the running backs, you know, Tevin Coleman kind of got held in check against the Browns. He only had 63 total yards and no touchdowns. He didn't do anything exciting there. And unfortunately, if the Falcons got a little bit more of a running game, they would have, you know, been in that game.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Definitely unfortunate.
Marlon Mack, 12 for 29, not great. Jordan Howard, again, just kind of same story, different week for him.
Playing his role. And if they're winning, you just got to keep moving on.
32 yards, and the big guy has a touchdown vulched. I guess you wouldn't say it was vultured away from him, but Tariq Cohen for 3-yard rush definitely hurts when you get the big power back.
Yeah, you got to show what he's there for, you know.
Sony Michel, back from the injury, 11 for 31. And receivers, Jarvis Landry again continues to disappoint. Two catches on 5 targets for 22. And Doug Baldwin only had 39 yards as well. And, you know, he's another guy that's been a little bit of a bust. And then O.J. Howard, you know, the one tight end I'll throw out here this week, only had 15 yards. And that's not good, especially when your offense puts up 500. So,
yeah, definitely. I was a little shocked to see that because he's been steadily, you know, exceeding 10 points per week, you know. And I'm trying to speak in the fantasy perspective, but he's getting the attraction. The quarterbacks trust him, and they're starting to see the mobility that he's got here that surpasses that Cameron Brait. And you really look for him to get a lot more touches there.
Yep, for sure.
For sure, for sure.
Some injuries here. We have Joe Flacco. He's coming off the bye here. He's got a hip injury. He's not sure if he's going to play or not. And if he can't go, it's Robert Griffin or Lamar Jackson. So that's not a great sign. You know, bad quarterback situation gets a little worse. He's the only quarterback I have here. James Conner had a concussion. All signs point to he will be out of the protocol in time. They played the Thursday night game, obviously. So he should be back in time for this Sunday. And then, obviously, you talked about Cooper Kupp tore his ACL. Marvin Jones, there was fear for a little bit that he might have a serious knee injury as well, just a bone bruise. He's going to be questionable for this Sunday, so you got to keep an eye on him. And the only other one I want to talk about here is a defensive guy, Ronald Darby for Philly as the cornerback. A bad Philadelphia secondary just lost a decent player there, so they're only going to get worse. So, you know, if you got any guys, secondary or quarterbacks or wide receivers going up in Philly in these next few weeks here, get them in there, play them. And the last note, it's official. Le'Veon Bell will miss the entire 2018 season.
Thanks for nothing.
So in your redraft leagues, you can officially drop him and go get some scrub off the waiver wire.
Or just sell him to a sucker. There's always one in every league.
That is your injuries and stories from week 10.
Oh, way to wrap things up there, Bradley. Now that we got done with our week 10, time to move ahead to week 11. Before we get into that, Brad, how can they leave us some hate mail?
As always, we're on Twitter, and that's @fantasy_hustle. On our homepage there on the Twitter, you're going to see our email. John, J-O-N-G, John G's, sorry, fantasyhustle@gmail.com. Or the voicemail, you can leave us some phone calls and tell us how much you love John's voice. 219.
You know you do.
576-6797.
And how about this? If you even made it this far, why don't you just give a little message on Twitter here. Talk to my boy here, Brad. Let him know what's up.
Yeah, sure. If you're still listening, get on Twitter and just say you made it to the 22-minute mark.
There's got to be one. There's got to be one. But now we're going to kick it into our favorite segment, Who You Got?
Who You Got?
Who You Got?
Hey, who do you got?
Who you got?
Mm-mm. Who you got?
Who you got?
Who you got?
All right, guys. Let me ask you. Who do you got? I got Aaron Rodgers at Seattle or Dakota Rain Prescott at Atlanta?
I feel like this question is just for me to try to get me to say it. But, yeah, Seattle has actually been a very good defense, especially in that passing game. They've limited quarterbacks very well. They're a top three defense, actually, against opposing quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And the Falcons, on the other hand, are a bottom five. So it's really tough to sit here and say Rodgers with certainty based on those stats. But my whole thing is you always play these guys. You know who they are. You know, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys. You just have to play, and because you'll be killing yourself if you know he's on your bench and he goes off for 25 plus or hell, even puts up a big 40 spot. So you
let's
can't
not get a hold of ourselves here, buddy.
You can't do it.
Big Ben all over again.
Yeah, hold on.
So, time and again on this show, I've talked about how much I dislike Prescott and don't think he's anything special. So give me Rodgers in this one, even though the matchup says Prescott.
Brendan?
I hate doing it, but I'm going to take the bait here. I agree with Brad. If I had both of these guys on my roster for some reason, I would play Rodgers just based on, you know, who he is. But I think Green Bay goes through a more balanced attack this week with Aaron Jones finally, you know, starting to kind of bust out.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the other thing is Dak has been playing better. So I think with, you know, since the addition of Amari, they've looked better. I would go with Dak. I think he can put up the same number of points as Aaron this week.
Yeah, man, you got to get a little bit more, you know, comfortable, you know, get your team on the same page. You get the camaraderie flowing in the office. And I agree with you. I think he does get that going.
Yeah.
So you're going to go with Dakota Rain. Call him by his name.
I'll go with Dakota Rain, but I think these two will be pretty even in scoring, but I think that's kind of a step up for Dakota, whereas I see Rodgers having a
little bit of regression,
an average game.
Yeah. Okay, respectable.
All right, our next who you got here? This is a tough one here. It's two MVP candidates. You got Drew Brees at home against the Eagles, or Patrick Mahomes on Monday night in LA, not Mexico City, taking on the Rams.
Not Mexico City. Ladies first, Brendan. Let me see what you got.
God, you're a gem. I think if you have either one of these guys in your lineup, you're playing them. If you're lucky,
I was pretty impressed myself. I'm like, oh, this guy lucked out.
Yeah, but it's possible where you could have them both because Mahomes was a late round pick. So, I mean, if you have them both, flip a coin almost. But the reason I picked Mahomes here, look at the over under for the game against the Rams. It's the highest over under yet this season. It'll be a complete shootout. You know, you're gonna get points.
I like that. But I think the way that the reason that it's coming from Azteca back to the Rams, I think that that's going to be a key situation here. I think that if anything, playing there would kind of slow both teams down a little bit here. But we want to see what we may see in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? We want that preview. And I really think Mahomes is a great quarterback. But I think, and I'm just going to, this may be the first year that, or first game that he kind of slips. You know what I mean? I think the Rams defense may kind of post up. Marcus Peters ain't the Marcus Peters he used to be. Got a little bit too cocky for my liking. But Breeze has been a pretty damn good quarterback this year. And the Eagles, Brad mentioned, man, they're pretty beat up. So
that game will be pretty high scoring as well. So I think you'll see a lot of points in both. But you're looking at probably the two best offenses in the league with Kansas City and the Rams.
Definitely. Breeze just got they both got the equal amount of weapons here. You know what I mean? But I just like Breeze, man. I think that the Eagles are a little bit more faulty than the Rams.
All right, Brendan, you got running backs here?
Yeah, so I got a running back matchup I pulled from one of my leagues. I got who you got here? Adrian Peterson at home versus the Texans or Alex Collins at home versus the Bengals and Hugh Jackson.
Ooh.
I forgot Hugh's going to be there now.
Hugh. Ooh.
Well, this one here is pretty easy for me because the matchup, I'm going to go with the matchup too because the matchup says Texans have been pretty good against the opposing running backs. They stop the run pretty well. And coming out of the bye here, you know, I think they're going to have a solid game plan to shut down Adrian Peterson and make Alex Smith and the who's who of wide receivers beat them. And I think that could be the case where Adrian Peterson just kind of completely, you know, taken out of this game. And on the other side, the Bengals have been dreadful against running backs. You just saw, obviously, it's tough to say last week because the Saints are so good, but Ingram and Kamara both had good games against them. And I think Collins is the guy there. I mean, not the guy. Buck Allen's still going to get his carries, but mm-hmm. Alex Collins is going to get the majority, and I think that'll be enough to probably get him, you know, 80 yards at least and maybe a touchdown. So that's going to easily be better than what AP gets you this week. So give me Collins.
I'm going to disagree with you. I will agree on the fact that Houston is a pretty good defense now. They're definitely coming together here. But AP, I mean, he's a guy that the way he's been playing, you can only shut him down for a couple weeks. You know, and even at that, he hasn't run poorly. It's just the amount of carries that he's been getting. You know what I mean? He hasn't been getting his, you know, 20-plus, maybe chipping in here around 15 or somewhere around there. But I think you give the man a ball and you put the game in his hands, he'll definitely live up to it here.
I like that one, John. I think he's the one commodity on...
I just don't trust Alex Collins. Alex Collins has not proven anything, nor have the Ravens, and the offense is kind of scary. I'll give Collins credit that he's had maybe like two or three games that have been like decent, but there's just too much of a committee there, and they don't know what's going on. Imagine if Lamar Jackson gets under center because Flacco's out. That's going to change a whole lot of things right there here. So, you know, deep down, I agree. Houston is the tougher D, but AP is just going to have a game this week.
I like it. I like the pick.
I like it a lot.
All right, we got another running back question for you two here. Tevin Coleman at home against the Cowboys, or Philip Lindsay traveling to the Los Angeles Chargers? What's in the box?
Well, I'll tell you what's in the damn box. Philip Lindsay at the Chargers. Because Tevin Coleman... he had that week that I'm like, oh, okay, this is what he, you know, we're talking highly of him, thinking that he is going to kind of put things forward here. But the Cowboys have got a pretty solid defensive front. And not a lot of teams have run, you know, excessively on them this year. And you give them a little momentum like they got now on the offensive side of things, the team's going to play harder as a whole. Now, Philip Lindsay, he's just played some good football. Coming off a bye, he's got some fresh legs. The Chargers, less Joey Bosa. I mean, that's big. He's a huge contributor. I know they got Mel Ingram there, who's a stud. But their defense, their secondary, they can't load the box like they were planning on this year due to injuries. And it's definitely factored into their, you know, teams running against them the way they have. So I got to go with Lindsay.
You know what? I like this. We're getting some differing opinions on each set so far, and it's
scripted, obviously.
I'm gonna continue it here. I like Coleman personally. Thing that worries me a little bit about Lindsay this week is one on the road, and then two, Royce Freeman may be back, so could turn into a three-headed monster there.
He'll run as good as he's done this whole year.
He's been good, but you just never know how they're gonna divide up those carries. And I like Coleman to come back. I know he had a down game last week, but I think, you know, they learned with that loss to the Browns is we have to have a little bit more balance, you know, and a little bit more balance in the offense, or we're going to lose to bad teams. And, you know, both of these teams are fighting for playoff position here, so I like Coleman.
I'm just joking. I should have done that to myself. Yeah. You guys should have buttons.
I wanted that button.
Yeah. Sometimes a man's mind just wanders and wanders.
Oh, there I go rambling again.
Here I go. It's all right. No, I like that. I like that. I think both guys can definitely have a say here, and I think Coleman, he's not a bad play. But Lindsay's man, I'm impressed with that guy.
Yeah,
undrafted, some things.
This is interesting because, yeah, Freeman is there and Lindsay has surpassed him, but Freeman's still going to get his opportunities. And Coleman has been obviously the better guy, but for some reason, Ito Smith is still getting too many more looks than, you know, I for one would like as a Tevin Coleman owner.
Ito.
Ito?
Ito.
All right, John.
Sorry.
Moving on to the wide receivers.
Our wide receiver that we're going to have today, Stephon Diggs, coming into Chicago, and a pretty, the number one team in the NFC North at Soldier Field. Kyle Fuller
Chicago
leading the league
Bears.
With interceptions, tied for the lead. Or Corey Davis at Indy after a big game that he had.
This actually surprised me when I looked it up today. Colts actually have been pretty good against receivers this year. I think they get beat more on the ground. And that kind of gives me pause because originally I thought Davis is the for sure pick here. But then I looked, the Bears, you know, they're okay. They're not great at stopping receivers, but, you know, they're not.
Their secondary has definitely gotten better.
I mean, when you look at it, what do you want to do against the Bears? Do you want to run the ball or do you want to try to throw it? And
well, you got
to
do one or the other.
I understand. So that's why I don't think you can really run it with much success. I think that's harder to do. The Bears have been very good against opposing running backs.
They have, but Kerryon came in last week.
But when you have Thielen and Diggs as opposed to Galladay and Marvin Jones.
That's true. That's true.
I think that's the strength of this offense, and I feel like they're going to try to attack this Bears secondary, and therefore I think Diggs is going to have a fair share of targets, and I think he can turn that into a good performance. And then you still have to worry about, with Davis, the Mariota factor, and that frightens me way more than whatever defense they're going up against. So,
well, keep in mind, too, Minnesota may try to mimic what Kerryon did with Dalvin Cook. You know, Cook got even another week to kind of get healthier here. I do like Diggs coming back off of the much-needed time rest, but that's going to be a good one. What about you,
with
fancy boy?
with Diggs, he's been too up and down for me this season, where you don't know exactly what you're getting. I feel like you're either getting a big game out of him or you're getting, 40 yards or less. Thielen seems to be the guy that they really count on there. So I'm shying away from Diggs in this case. I actually like what Corey Davis has done since coming off his bye these last 2 weeks. You talked about Mariota. I think he's actually been playing better the last couple weeks here. So Corey Davis coming off 125 yards last week. I'm going to go with him against Indy. I think he gets, the majority of the volume there for the Titans, and he's going to put up good numbers.
He's what's in the box.
What's in the box?
Ah.
All right, last matchup then here for wide receivers. I got Allen Robinson at home versus the Vikings or Emmanuel Sanders on the road versus the Chargers.
I'll take this one over here. I like A-Rob. I like how he's playing here. and Darius Slay not being there was huge on his stat line because he's one of the top corners in the league, hands down. Detroit didn't have that at their side, so kind of open up a good game for Allen Robinson. I mean, Taylor Gabriel was kind of quiet in that game, which I feel like, had it been that if Slay was there, I could have seen Gabriel kind of slide into that role. But Minnesota's not Detroit. Minnesota's very well-rounded on the corners, on the front. Their safeties, Hunter Smith, I mean, they got a squad here. So I don't expect Allen Robinson to have as much room or Trubisky to have as much time, per se. Emmanuel Sanders, I do like that matchup. I know LA's got Derwin James out there kind of lurking, and he's been a great rookie this year. Definitely been in a lot of guys' eyes as defensive rookie of the year. But, Emmanuel Sanders not having Demaryius Thomas there. I know Sutton's kind of picking up the mix, but they still rely on Emmanuel to kind of carry the load. And, if Philip Lindsay can't take care of it, Emmanuel Sanders is going to step up here, man. So I got to go with E-Man.
All right, Bradley.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on this one, our first agreement today. I think Sanders has the better matchup. Like you said, Vikings are not the Lions. They have some pretty good players in that secondary. And I think the one thing that the Bears would really be smart to do is get Cohen heavily involved and not ask Mitch to throw deep as much, try to get more of those intermediate to short routes. And Robinson had the huge game because of the big plays. And on the other side, Sanders is a guy that can do it all for you. He can go deep. He can give you the slot stuff. He can, get screens and give you big plays there. So I do like Sanders here. Chargers, have given up 10 touchdowns to receivers this year. Vikings only 6. So that's not a huge discrepancy, but still won a game for the Chargers is a good number when you have a guy like Emmanuel Sanders who's been very, very strong this year. So yeah, I'll take Sanders as
crazy
well.
Crazy strong, man.
I like that one. I might have to take that one to heart, too. I pulled that one straight from straight from one of my rosters. I'm having a hard time deciding. So,
oh, it's all right. We're not gonna hey, criticize.
Is this the first person that's asked for our advice? Straightforward?
First person that's been listening this long.
Yeah, that's who you got.
That's our who you got segment, folks. Here now, we're gonna kick things into high gear here and rolling. What's up, Quiver? Lip Quiver. Your lip's shaking over here, like you want to ask me.
We don't do kickers in that segment.
Yeah, for all those people out there that have two kickers on their roster, they can burn in hell.
Whoa, this guy's angry. He's angry. He actually just man, sit down, Brad. Relax.
I'm calm.
Oh, calmer than you are, bro.
If Michael's here, he could help. But that's all right. Let's move on. Sorry.
All right. We got that one out of our system here. Now let's get into our top three players of the week for each position. Brad, why don't you kick us off with your top three quarterbacks you think this week? Now, keep in mind here, we're not trying to go with, obviously, your obvious ones. It's good to throw some in given the matchup and you think they're going to have a huge game. But, you know, we kind of like to kind of dig a little deeper and say, hey, man, you may have this guy. Give him a shot.
Yeah, my number one guy is, you know, this isn't a huge stretch, especially for me, but I like Deshaun Watson here. Coming off the bye, I think Washington, you know, has been up and down. Obviously, we saw what Matt Ryan did to him a couple weeks ago. Tampa Bay just put 500 yards on him. So I like Deshaun Watson as my number one guy. My number two guy, this is kind of one of the top guys this year, is Jared Goff. And Brendan, you mentioned in the Who You Got, that game is going to be a shootout, and it probably will be. And I just think Goff could be putting up a huge number this week. And I just couldn't keep him off my top three. And then this one's kind of a sleeper, but I do like him to be in the mix as Josh Rosen going up against Oakland. Now, I know...
Interesting.
I know he's not a guy that's probably on your roster, but let's say you have Brady in the bye and you need a guy. This might be your best option on the waivers. So that's why I put him in there as my third best guy this week.
Rosen. All right. What you got over there, big dog?
All right. So I, again, similar to...
You've been working out, Brendan?
Not really, no. I mean,
yeah.
John, I try to be like you, you know what I mean? And
just drinking.
As tough as I could. Yeah, just... Go. But... my picks for this week, you know, outside of the top couple guys that you would see in most, you know, on most sites, I took Cam Newton. I think he bounces back from a subpar week that he had last week where he was less than 200 yards passing. He also had his worst rushing performance of the year last week with 10 yards against the Lions, who were just torched by Trubisky. I think he comes out and has a big week.
Yeah, I like it.
Another guy I like this week, you know, partly because of the matchup. And then again, I think they're getting into a situation where they need wins. It's Carson Wentz. So, you know, I think Philly keeps it close in New Orleans. It's hard to win down there, so I'm not going to guarantee that. But Saints struggle against the pass, so I like Wentz to have a big game. And then lastly, you know, this guy's really been doing a pretty good job all year. And I think last week was a little bit of an off game without any touchdowns. It was actually his only game this season that he started, not had multiple TDs, is Fitzpatrick.
It's magic.
Yeah. I think he gets back on track. I think you see a couple touchdown passes for him this week.
Okay. Be interesting to see here. Hopefully he's got a good presser going on. I got to roll with Russell Wilson, number one. He's always done good against Green Bay. And I think that even if it's a BS Hail Mary that Golden Tate catches or steals from the cornerback. But I like Russie here, man. I don't think that Green Bay's defense really has what it takes, and I think he's playing some good ball. And the fact that he's gone from no running back to a little bit of a solid committee, going to help him out for sure. Next guy, you know, call me a homer, but I want to see what Trubisky's got. We talked about three times in the past, 5 weeks, we've had some pretty solid contact going on here with Trubisky. Been making the top five. Oh boy, there's a bird in the house. Sorry, guys. It's our producer.
If you're watching on YouTube, you know.
Yeah, you know.
No, you don't.
You know. But Mitchell Trubisky, man, I got to roll with the guy. He's solid, and I know it's a tough defense, but this is going to be that game that proves that. He's the real fucking deal, man. And my last guy, I'm going to go with Mariota. I think Mariota's going to fucking keep things going, keep Indianapolis moving, and, you know, or not keep Indianapolis moving, but
keep them moving
from Indianapolis and, you know, keep their hopes alive here. But, yeah, give me Mariota. Brendan, going to running backs. Who's your top three?
Running backs. I'm actually kind of riding the wave of three guys who had good weeks last week. The first is David Johnson, who's coming off his best game of the year. I think Brad kind of mentioned it earlier. He had 98 yards rushing last week, 85 receiving. I think he has a big game, and I love the opponent, and he's playing the Raiders. Secondly, Leonard Fournette. I think the biggest takeaway for him last week is he touched the ball 29 times, 24 carries, 5 receptions, and he walked out of there healthy. So I think he's definitely a focal point of that offense. Pittsburgh's not the best matchup, but they did. They had a tough time last week with McCaffrey, and I think Fournette has a good game here.
The other thing about Fournette is Hyde and Yeldon were not very well, largely utilized too. So you kind of worried what that was going to be like with the three guys there. And for 1 week, we found out it's going to be Fournette.
Agreed. I think that was huge.
Yeldon got a couple receptions. He's definitely the slot
pass. That's what he is. Yeah. But
yeah, I mean,
Hyde just got... Hyde was not absolutely non-existent.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, Fournette, the yardage on the ground wasn't great with the number of carries. I think he had like 53 yards on 24 carries, so that average is, you know, awful. But the fact that he touched the ball 29 times, it's huge, that he's able to play again next week. My last guy then, who I like right now, and he's been just a workhorse these last couple of weeks. He's averaging almost 7 yards a carry, is Aaron Jones for the Packers. He just had his first 100-yard game last week and actually had his best game as a pass catcher as well with 27 yards that he added through the air. So I think Green Bay, again, is another team in that NFC that needs to keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
I think they know that with some of the receivers being a little bit banged up, that they have to have a little bit more balanced attack. So,
I liked it. I like that one. I was thinking about Aaron Jones here. But my first guy I got to go with is Joe Mixon. Now, I know Cincinnati is not what they were with A.J. Green. Thankfully, it's not on a long-time injury for him. You know what I mean? But he's still going to progress here. And coming and into Baltimore, I know they're supposed to be, you know, tough at home, but they're just too disheveled, man. Harbaugh doesn't got it going. Quite honestly, I feel like Harbaugh is trying to figure out where his next job's going to be because he knows he's not going anywhere. Or he's going somewhere soon. You know what I mean? He'll be looking from the outside in. But Joe Mixon just shown, man, and he needs to kind of perform a little bit better. But he started off hot. And I think after that injury, he's slowly getting back into the groove here, doing what we thought he was going to do earlier in the year.
He had a good game last week, and just with New Orleans pulling away like they did, they had to abandon the run. So.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. My next guy, I got to go with Doug Martin. I know, shocking, right? Doug
what?
Martin. Laugh it up. But Arizona, they really don't have too much of a game plan going together here. They got David Johnson, and as terrible as Oakland is, I think Doug Martin could have a decent game this week here. He's carrying the ball, not too shabby, given the scenario that's surrounding him, but I think he's the sleeper for me for the week here. My third running back, Derrick Henry. I like the way Derrick Henry is running the ball. He's coming out of his shell a little bit. Was there something wrong with your jaw there, brother?
It just hit the table.
Hey, these ain't about your everyday players here, buddy. These are about guys who are going to... Yeah, I could have said Dalvin Cook going into Chicago, but I think that he's going to have a good game. But I'm going with a guy who is out of the box.
Oh, I know you were a big proponent, and I think it was the last week's episode of waiver wire pickups. Those might be two guys that you could find on there. So
yeah, possibly. And like I said, Derrick Henry, man, hopefully Tennessee can move this forward. I don't really think Deion Lewis is kind of putting forth as much effort, but I think that Derrick Henry is going to be the guy here eventually.
He had a better game last week. He hit with the two touchdowns. So if you're, you know.
The kinda, week prior, too. Go ahead, stat boy. How to do the week prior.
I'm not sure about the week prior. I don't.
Touchdown.
All right. So.
Well, pick your jaw.
Hey, I'm trying to build you back up a little bit after.
I really
you
wish,
don't need to, bro.
I really wish you were in our keeper league because I would love to trade you Derrick Henry right now.
You got no one good on your team except for kickers.
You got Derrick Henry if you want him. Okay, so my top three. I talked about him and the who you got. I love Alex Collins.
Because Josh Rosen's a good one, too.
I love Alex Collins this week. The matchup is great against the Bengals. They're coming off the bye. Everything should be pretty good there with the run game. And if it's Lamar Jackson, I think that's going to help Collins quite a bit because it's going to be a lot of RPO stuff, and I think that could really get Collins in for a huge day here. My number two guy is going to be Tariq Cohen. Like I talked about earlier, I think this is his game. I think the Vikings are susceptible to pass-catching running backs, and I think this is obviously a really good one, one of the best in the league. So I think Cohen's going to be in for a huge day. He should get upwards of 15 to 20 touches, and that's a guy that makes the most of his touches. I also have a sleeper here, and this is strictly if Chris Carson doesn't play on Thursday.
Yes.
Give me Rashad Penny. He had a nice game. He finally did something worthwhile here. And as a number one pick, it's time for Seattle to start to utilize him here. They're 4-5. They're probably out of the playoff picture. I mean, not officially yet, but it's time to see what you got in this first-round pick. And if Carson's out, he should be in for another good game against Green Bay.
Most definitely. Now kicking into receivers here. First guy I'm going to start off with is Robert Woods. Obviously, I'm hyping up Brandon Cooks, thinking that he's going to be pretty solid, from here on out, given the nature with Cooper Kupp out. But Robert Woods, man, he's been solid, and I think he's going to be the benefactor here against Kansas City here. My next guy, give me Corey Davis again. Let me see what the guy's got. Give me a chance at him, and let me see what he can do in Indy here. I know, Brad, you mentioned that Indy's defense hasn't been too terrible in the secondary, but, I think that they may have something going on here. I mean, you need to have a little bit of camaraderie between, I'll say that seven more times on the podcast, between your quarterback and your wide receiver. And it's just kind of been unclear there the whole time. And I think now the whole offense is trying to get things together, and I think they're moving forward in the right direction. My last guy, give me Tyler Lockett. I like Lockett going into Green Bay. Green Bay's secondary just is not what it used to be, and especially when they got rid of Dix, it really does hurt them. I know they got a couple good young corners and another good young safety, but Tyler Lockett's he's having a great year here, and I think Russ is just going to pick him apart.
All right, I'm going to start with Galladay here. I think he's now the number one guy there. We want to see what he can be. He can be a huge playmaker. And if Marvin Jones doesn't go, he's all Stafford has in the passing game, apart from carry-on. So as far as receivers go, it's going to be Galladay's day. Galladay! My number two guy is Alshon Jeffrey. I think New Orleans, obviously, we talked about this, that game is going to be a high-powered scoring game, a lot of points to be had. And, I think that Eagles offense, they have Tate, they have Ertz, but Jeffrey is still that, that big play guy, the go up and get it guy that can get you, all kinds of points in a heartbeat, put up, 50-yard touchdown. And I think that's something you could look for this game against the Saints. And then lastly, it kind of pains me here because I got to rely on Dak Prescott to get Amari Cooper the ball, but I think they're force-feeding Amari Cooper. They're trying to get him the ball as much as possible. So when they're not giving it to Zeke, they're trying to get it to Cooper. And I think he's in for a good game here against a bad Atlanta defense.
So
who you got there, Poindexter?
I, as I was looking at my list here that I had written down, I was crossing guys off as Brad stated them. So I had Galladay. I pivoted off him. My next thing that I wrote down was Alshon.
Did you guys write that together last night when you were?
He's a stat boy. He knows what he's doing, I guess.
Great minds think alike on most things.
So the one guy I had, and then I also actually had Cooper. So he took Cooper and Galladay. Those were two of the three that I had written down. The one guy I had written down, it wasn't talked about yet, was T.Y. Hilton. And I think Brad's doing the touchdown celebration over here. I think he... no, the Patriots just had two receivers with big games against the Titans. So I think it shows that they are susceptible to the passer. And he's the one target outside of Ebron on the Colts that you could rely on there. Had a good game last week with 77 yards. I think he's someone who could come out this week, you know, top 100 yards.
Those are good choices here. Very good choices there, Brendan, I must say.
I really agree with the Galladay and Cooper.
Yeah, I agree with them. I agree with them.
Brad, I admire, you're the brains behind this operation. Keep it going, buddy.
If only you felt that way about kickers.
One day you'll learn, Brendan. One day you'll learn. All righty, now let's get into our weekly picks here. Thursday night, Green Bay headed into Seattle. Who you got, Brendan?
I actually...
pulling out your notebook?
Yeah, I am. I'm pulling out my notebook here. I wanted to look one more time. I wrote one thing next to the Packers here. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. This is the time of the year. I hate to say it as a Bears fan.
You're such a homo.
No, that the Packers seem to turn it on. Rodgers really turns it up a notch. This is a tough game, and they haven't won yet on the road this year, but... I think that they find a way to get some balance in the offense. I've talked about that a couple of times, and they beat the Seahawks.
Okay.
Even though Seattle isn't what they used to be, that's still a very tough place to play. And I know they're 4-5, but they've had some very tough games where they lost tight ones. So I think they're going to find a way to win this on the short week. I don't think Green Bay can get up there and get this victory. So I'll take Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going to go Seattle also. I think they got what it takes. I've been obviously hyping up Russie. I think Lockett's going to have a good game, and I like the committee that they got on the front. Aaron Jones has shown up, but I just don't think he's going to have what it takes to lead the Packers in the Pacific Northwest. Brad, Cowboys, the Falcons.
I think the Cowboys win over the Eagles was a fluke, and I think Atlanta's loss to the Browns was a fluke. So Falcons are the better team, and they right the ship and get the easy victory at home.
I agree. Falcons seem to play a little bit better at home. I think Dallas will have, you know, a tough time keeping up. I'm going to take Atlanta here.
Okay. Give me the Cowgirls. I think the Cowgirls are here to try to try to do something here. Falcons are coming off a pretty pitiful loss, and sometimes you got to beat the guy when they're on the ground. So I think that's what the Cowboys are going to do here. They're kind of moving up. Falcons are kind of trying a little bit down right now, and I like what they're doing. Bengals coming into the Ravens. Well, I will let you know where I'm headed here. I think I got to go with the Bengals. I think that Cincinnati is going to come into the Ravens' house, and I think they're going to kind of just put it down. I think Joe Mixon's going to have a big game. I know the Ravens are coming off of a bye, but I really don't think that Baltimore has it all together as a team, and I think that's what's lacking there. I know a lot of people, you guys like Alex Collin this week. I don't disagree with you. It's a good matchup for him, but I just think when it comes to a role player, I think your Boyd's going to kind of show up. I mean, yeah, lock down Boyd and you lock down Mixon, you should be good, right? But you never know here. I just don't think the Ravens have it all together. And if Flacco's out, it's a big question mark there.
Yeah, I like Baltimore in this one just because, again, we talked about earlier, Bengals defense isn't great. And without Green, I think they are very easy to shut down on offense. And Baltimore has a great defense. So even with Lamar Jackson or Robert Griffin, whoever, I think Baltimore finds a way to win this game. I'm not too excited about this game. It doesn't really, you know, scream an exciting football game. But I think that's the type of game the Ravens know how to win.
You both touch on it, actually. So I think, you know, I won't speak of it much here. But I think the Ravens win. The recipe for success here is their defense. I like Baltimore at home.
Brandon, you got the Panthers coming into Detroit.
Detroit looks very bad right now. The last couple games against two division opponents, they've just been beaten up, given up, you know, a whole bunch of sacks, 10 against the Vikings, 6 against the Bears. You know, Carolina's looked pretty good on offense this year. I like the Panthers.
Yeah, I too like the Panthers here. Detroit is slowly becoming, or quickly becoming, one of the worst teams in the league after that Tate trade. And I think even going home won't fix their woes. And Carolina, with coming off a Thursday night game, will be prepared and ready to rebound after that embarrassing loss to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree. The demise is definitely there for the Lions. I think the Panthers are moving forward. McCaffrey's looking good. Olsen's healthy. A lot of good things are coming on there. So, you know, for Funches to have a big game. Brad, Titans going into the Colts.
I'm going to take Indy in this one. I think Indy, coming off that bye, kind of really stepped up and took down the division, you know, defending division champion Jaguars. And they got a little bit of momentum here. Luck is healthy, getting the tight ends involved. And Marlon Mack didn't have a great game against Jacksonville, but I expect he's going to come back like he was prior to the bye. And Indy's just going to, you know, find a way to win another game at home.
Yeah, last week in my picks, I actually had, you know, the Jags upset and the Colts at home. So I'm going to learn my lesson here. I think the Colts knock off their division rival this week and beat the Titans at home.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Andy Luck's going to have a solid week here. His team's coming together here, a little bit fresher legs. Definitely look for them to kind of put it down against Tennessee. I do like what Tennessee has to offer, obviously, with Derrick Henry having a solid game, which pick your jaw up there, Brendan. But, yeah, give me the Colts, man. I like what they got all around. I think Marlon Mack's going to have a solid game at home here. Buccaneers coming into East Rutherford. I look for the Buccaneers to rebound here. I think they're going to come back and they're going to beat the Giants here. Eli Manning is just awful. And, you know, when you produce that many yards and you don't score, you score only 3 points, your kicker scores the points, you know, you're due for a change here. And I think they're going to kind of get that figured out here this week. And the Giants are just awful, hands down. So I got to go with the Bucs.
I like the Giants here. I think, you know, coming off their bye, they look better playing. Granted, it was the San Francisco 49ers, but I think Eli looked good in that last drive, leading him to victory. The Bucs just haven't shown me much this year, so I'm going to pick the G-men here.
Yeah, I also going to take the Giants here just because I think the wheels are finally coming off here in Tampa. They have basically a lame duck coach, and he won't be, you know, in charge of that team next year. And the Giants probably have a lame duck quarterback, but they still have Saquon Barkley and Odell. And, you know, as bad as Eli's been, he still gets those guys heavily involved, and that's exactly what you do. You get your best players involved, and those two guys, especially with that defense too in New York, I think, find a way to win this game.
Okay. Texans going into Redskins. What you got, Brendan?
Houston's really impressed me lately. And on the flip side of the coin, the Redskins are very beat up, have had a lot of injuries, and the offensive line there is decimated. I think AP will have a hard time getting going against that defense. I like Houston in this game.
I like them, too. Who you got, Brad?
You know, Houston's on fire right now. They've won 6 in a row after starting 0-3. And that offense is firing on all cylinders. That defense is getting stronger. So, especially like you just said, Brendan, with the offensive line issues for Washington, I think this is going to be all Houston, even on the road.
Yeah, a little bird lips, Brendan. I got to agree with you guys. I got to go with Houston. Injury plagues, man. They definitely hurt, and not having your offensive line on the same snap count is going to just either, one, draw a bunch of penalties, or two, just leave a bunch of gaps in coverage. And the Texans are no slouch, man. They're playing some good football. Bill O'Brien's feeling a little bit better. Got him off a bye. Easy W. Apparently, did you sit on a fucking kitten?
A duck.
Huh. Interesting. Brad, Steelers going into the Jags.
All right. This is a tough one here. This is probably my upset, my only upset of the week, I feel, because I feel like I took a lot of favorites. But I'm going to take Jacksonville on this one, and I don't know why. I just feel like it's their due. Once upon a time, after beating New England in week two, and they were 3-1, and then Kansas City put the whooping on them, and ever since then, they just can't get right. But I think for no reason in particular, I'll just take Jacksonville. I think they figure it out and get off the schneid.
I appreciate you taking Jacksonville, so you let me to catch up at least one game here when I pick the Steelers. So, yeah, I got to go with the high-profile offense there. James Conner's probably going to get a little more cockier knowing that, hey, this is my team. So even with Le'Veon Bell comes back, not to say it still wouldn't be his team. He's riding a little bit higher right now. And their offense is just feeling good. Big Ben's out there. Their defense is playing pretty strong. And I just don't think the Jags got it.
Yeah, the Steelers looked tremendous in their last game. You know, had some extra time to prepare for this one and are seeking, you know, that second seed in the AFC. I like these Steelers here.
Raiders going into Glendale, Arizona. Definitely going to go home sad because I think David Johnson's going to do some good damage to him. He's definitely showing that he's trying to get back to that form he was 2 years ago. I like the way he's moving, even though I made a foolish trade for, you know, sold him in a trade. But David Johnson, man, looks good. I don't know about Rosen, but just give that man the ball, and he can kind of take care of the Raiders by himself, except for Doug Martin.
The Raiders look lifeless right now. The Cardinals tend to play a little bit better at home. I'll go with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'll just go with the Cardinals and save my breath for the next one.
Well, Brad's skipping the next one. Brad, who you got? Broncos at the Chargers.
The Chargers are another hot team. They've won 6 in a row, just like I talked about the Texans have. And they're doing it in, you know, pretty impressive fashion. Taking care of the Raiders pretty easily last week. Obviously, that's not saying much. But then, you know, a pretty good performance against Seattle the week prior. They've really got things figured out, and I think they're going to continue to roll here. Melvin Gordon, obviously, he's one of the best running backs in the league. He's going to continue to roll. Keenan Allen might be finally figuring it out here, him and Rivers getting a connection. So Chargers are going to win this one, and the Broncos, unfortunately, are another one bad team.
I always say, like, when you're in your division and you're the best team, you got to beat those bad teams in your division. And so you look at the AFC West here, I would put the Broncos in that bad team category. I feel like the Chargers have to get this one done, and I'll go with the Chargers.
Yeah, I think Philly Rivers is going to definitely kick some ass there at home with no fans. But Broncos are pretty pitiful. Aside from a decent running back and one good receiver, I don't think they got what it takes because the man behind the middle ain't the guy. Give me the Chargers. Eagles going into the Saints, Brendan.
I'm looking forward to watching this game. You know, two good offenses, and I think the over-under here, or excuse me, the spread here is a little misconceiving with the Saints being favored by 8. I think the Eagles stay within that distance. But I still take the Saints at home.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. I think I got to go with the Saints, too. I like Drew Brees, and although it's intimidating what Carson Wentz and the Eagles can do, falling up short to the Cowboys wasn't really something I saw on their radar. And I thought they were moving forward here, and you can't have bumps in the road like that when you're trying to chase a wild card spot, let alone the Redskins who are leading your division here. Drew Brees, man, he just got so many weapons here. I know the Eagles got a pretty stout defense, but you know, when you're messing around with talent like that, you're going to get tired quick. So give me the Saints.
Yeah, the only explanation I could think of why Philly lost to Dallas is they were already looking ahead to this New Orleans matchup, because I feel like they figured the division's theirs. They just take care of business like they will. They got to beat New Orleans now because they got their eyes set on the playoffs. And unfortunately, when you go to New Orleans, you don't win very often. And I don't think they're going to win here either, which makes that loss to Dallas even worse. So give me New Orleans. Just continue to roll here. Maybe put up another 50 like they did the past week.
Interesting. Next, we got the Vikings on Sunday Night Football heading into Soldier Field against the first-place Chicago Bears. Battle of the Division, Brendan. What are you thinking, my man?
This is the biggest division game yet of Mitch's career. You know, the Bears have been riding the wave this year of one of the hottest teams in the NFL. Offenses look great. Defenses look great. This is where you need to show up and play your best game. The Vikings do scare me, especially coming off the bye where they had some extra time to prepare. And the Bears, you know, with the Bears being a familiar opponent. But I will take Chicago, baby.
That's right, mother.
The Bears are actually only one of two teams currently on a winning streak in the NFC. The other, of course, being the Saints, who have won 8 in a row. So I guess if you want to say they're hot, even though it's only a 3-game winning streak, I like that. And I think
you're such a boner sometimes. You know, gonna say that. You gotta just say they're hot. They're hot.
Well,
you could say they are. They're hot.
Let's slow our roll here. They've won 3 in a row, but look at the opponents.
Oh, boy.
But I think they are getting things going here. I think this is a huge game, like you said, for Mitch Trubisky to finally, you know, maybe show some doubters, including myself, that he is a guy that they can win with. And I think ultimately Minnesota has a very good offense. But I think this defense is a defense that can give Minnesota some problems. And I think the Bears are going to win this game.
Well, I know you guys are expecting it. But, you know, I do got to give Minnesota the credit first and say that, man, this is going to be the game that the Bears have been waiting to play to really get some experience here, especially before the Rams come into town. And I think that the Vikings defense is damn tough. And I'm impartial to kind of thinking that they may have what it takes. But I think the one benefactor that the Bears are going to have to do here is they're going to have to take down Adam Thielen. And that secondary is playing a hell of a lot better here coming together. That nickel, Callahan is just stepping up. And I feel like there's going to be ways where they're going to try and mismatch him and throw Thielen at him. But I think they have a good surrounding there. And that base is going to help them. And, you know, the other benefactor, Mitch Trubisky is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. A better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. It's a fact. I know it's hard to chew and it's hard to swallow, but it's true, man. He's played better than him. He runs the ball better than him. And that's just what it is.
Stratton, I know you're happy. We were going to write down, we were going to mark on the door every time John picked against the Bears, as you can see how many times we've marked on the door.
I don't want to ruin it. So
Trubisky's not better than Kirk Cousins.
That would be a tough argument for me.
Come on.
Yes, he is, buddy.
Danny Rathburn just walk in.
He's not better than, he's not having a better year than Kirk Cousins. Have we talked about Kirk Cousins once in the top three quarterbacks? Hey, Kirk Cousins had a good year. Who's he throwing to? Adam Thielen?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Come on. Who's he got? You're going to say Kirk Cousins is a better year right now than Mitch Trubisky.
No, I'm saying Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback. You can look at the stats and just say, yeah,
Trubisky. Yeah, because he's been there for 1 year. Yeah, okay.
But Mitch Trubisky is also boom or bust this year. He hasn't had a whole lot in between. He's had these huge weeks, like we've talked about, and he's had bad weeks.
And what has Kirk Cousins done in Minnesota with the weapons that he's had there?
Kirk Cousins has been
very
solid all year. He's had maybe one or two games where he was below average, but every week he's been solid.
What did he do? Solid. I beg to differ. You'll hear my rebuttal.
He hasn't had any games where he's blown up, so I think his stat lines are, you know, somewhat pedestrian. But he's more proven. And then
do your homework and get back to me, brother. You do your homework and you get back to me. You let me know.
I'm a Bears fan too. I'd love to say
it's not being a homer here. And the fact that you're trying to tell me that is fucked up, because Mitch has been the past 3 out of 5 weeks on our top three players of the week.
Kirk Cousins, 2 bad weeks, 2 huge weeks, a lot of very average weeks. Mitch Trubisky.
Pull it up. Silence of the Lambs.
3 good weeks. 2 bad weeks.
Better than 2.
And
a better record. And a better record.
I can't believe we have to have this conversation right now.
Hey, it's all right.
Started in the restaurant, now it carries over to here.
Hey, it's all good, baby.
All right. Monday night, we got Kansas City going to Los Angeles, not Mexico City, to take on the Rams. I'm going to take the Rams. I think this is obviously the game we've been looking forward to for a while now. And I think the Rams just have a little bit more firepower because Todd Gurley is the better running back here. I think quarterbacks, obviously Mahomes better, but the receivers you can kind of wash as well here. So give me the Rams to win this one at home.
Make sure you get home from work on time next Monday. Don't be late. Might be one of the best games we see all year. Both offenses are just unbelievable. They have weapons at quarterback, running back, tight end, receiver. So maybe not the Rams at tight end. I take that back. But I think the game being moved from Mexico City actually helps the scoring here. And I like the Rams at home.
Yeah, I got to go with the Rams. They're it's going to be a surefire, awesome NFL game. Some say the highlight of the possible Future Bowl matchup. Future Bowl, Suture Bowl, Super Bowl, Cooper Bowl.
Future Bowl.
You know what I mean. But it's going to be a great game. Make sure you're home and you're watching. I agree with you, Brendan. This is going to be something you're going to definitely want to see here. But, you know, give me the Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs taking the Rams down here.
Whoa.
Well, folks, that's our picks for the week. And, Brendan, we appreciate you coming on to the show. You've been such a little fanboy, you know. We love your fan mail that you send us every week. It's endearing.
Last time I checked, that inbox has been empty all season.
Well, it's just because it's overflowing. You just can't access it anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. Dick. Well, folks, until next time, peace.